reached the main doors into the Matran section without incident.
Can I do the code?
Yeah, you remember it?
3, 5, and 2.
Do it.
There was the usual breath-checking moment when nothing seemed to be happening. But the century-old mechanism was still functioning, and the double sectors rose ponderously. The camera still swayed back and forth, the red light gleaming on each of them. When father and son reached the other doors, Ryan heaved up on the green control lever and opened the way into the main control room of the gateway. The Atlanta Braves baseball cap lay where Dean had dropped it, on the muddied floor of the small anteroom.
It'll be okay, Dad?
Sure. Let's see if we were wrong or right about this little piece of paper.
Ryan had copied onto a postcard the bits of information and code that the companions more or less had agreed on. The fifth notation, if they were right, referred to a redoubt that was situated in southern New Mexico, not far from Texas, in a military complex that had been largely reduced to rubble by several explosions several weeks earlier.
You go in.
You're coming?
Again, Ryan heard that tiny scrap of threatened panic at the idea that he might be left in this alien chamber on his own.
Sure. Just gotta punch in these numbers.
Should I sit down?
Back against the wall. Legs out straight, or maybe knees up and your arms around them. Kind of tuck your head in. Main thing is to get comfortable, ready for the jump.
Dean walked in gingerly, avoiding the metal discs in the floor, and sat on the far side. He picked a spot where he could keep an eye on Ryan, who stood by the control panel. The console felt slightly sticky to Ryan's finger as he punched in the long code. He glanced at the L and the D buttons, wondering if they really meant last destination, as they hoped. If they did, then he'd be back in the blue-green walls without any serious difficulty. Wouldn't he? A second later, he finished the sequence, paused, then joined Dean. He squatted by the boy and put his arm around the slight figure.
Hang on. Here we go.
There was the growing swell of the humming noise, and the familiar mist began to gather near the roof of the chamber. The discs started to glow, brighter and brighter.
Can I try and keep my eyes open for the jump, Dad?
If you want to, but I don't think you'll be.
The dark carnival revolved inside his skull. Ryan felt his son starting to shudder, his whole body vibrating. Someone out in the dazzling blackness was beginning to scream. The walls of the gateway chamber showed a pale, filtered silver color, and Ryan remembered that was the right shade for the redoubt down in the wilderness of what had once been called New Mexico. At least the jump seemed to have taken them to the correct place. Ryan tried to fight down the inevitable nausea, closing his eye again, and felt a tight steel band clamped across the frontal lobe of his brain.
Fire blast. At least we're still alive.
He looked down at his son. Dean was unconscious, his mouth open. A faint smear of blood covered his lower lip, but he was breathing steadily, and his pulse was strong. Ryan still had his arm around the boy, and he shifted carefully, lowering him so that he could lie on the floor.
I'll get some, Rona.
But the boy's eyes stayed closed. Ryan stood, stretching like a great cat, muscles creaking with the strain. Out of habit, he checked his weapons. The butcher's cleaver on his hip, safely in its sheath, and the slim-bladed flensing knife in the small of his back, the pistol in its holster, and the new Steyr bolt-action rifle slung across his shoulders. He couldn't remember much about the actual gateway. A terrifying illness had struck him in the redoubt beyond, taking his mind for a time and nearly taking his life. The glowing discs in floor and ceiling had all cooled and returned to their usual dull sheen. The mist was gone from the air. Air that felt noticeably drier than in Florida.
Kept my eyes open all the time, Dad.
The small voice made him turn around. Dean was struggling to sit up.
Lie still for a bit, otherwise you'll throw up. How do you feel?
Sick. But I kept... No. I don't think I did. But I tried, Dad.
Never managed it myself. Seems part of the mechanics of the jump that you have to pass out. Something to do with all the bits of your body and mind being scrambled up and then brought back together again. That's what an old friend called Rick told me once. I don't understand it.
I dreamed about Rona.
Nice dream?
The boy sat up, wincing, and put a hand to his head.
I know she was crying. We were in some big stone ville. Lots of people. And she was crying. I can't remember why.
You fit to fight?
Sure.
The boy stood, then wobbling knees folded in on themselves.
Oh!
Ryan was just in time to catch the lad and save him from falling.
Wait a while longer, Dean. There's no hurry to get moving.
Will it be the same time here?
Night?
Ryan looked at his son.
You know, I don't think any of us have ever really thought much about that. I think it is. Often we don't find exactly where we are until we get outside the redoubt. That sometimes takes days.
Dean tried again, this time managing to stand unaided. His face was frost pale, and his eyes didn't look too secure in their sockets, but he was upright.
Will there be a place we can rest and eat?
I doubt it. The fact that the Matrans unit is still here and functioning is a real double ace on the line for us.
Jack Lauren, will he...
Ryan lifted a warning finger. Dean managed a wan smile.
Sorry. Too many questions. I'm ready, as long as we don't go too fast.
Ryan pushed at the door, and immediately outside he checked the control panel, making sure that it also carried the L and the D buttons.
Get your blaster up, boy.
Why?
There's a lot of golden dust around the floor. Don't remember that from last time. Could mean someone else has been using the gateway, or that it's open to the outside. Either way, it's dangerous.
If Christy was here, she'd feel if there was danger, wouldn't she?
Ryan nodded, his finger on the trigger of the P226 9mm pistol.
Most times, but not always.
The boy drew his Smith & Wesson 425, eyes narrowing.
I'm ready for them, Dad.
Trader used to reckon that the man who survived was the man who was ready, even when he wasn't ready. You got that?
I think so.
They exited the small room, then the main control section for the gateway, into the passage beyond. Ryan stopped.
Shit.
He remembered that Christy sometimes quoted a saying of her mother's, that good luck and bad luck were often tangled together. You might fall down and break a leg, yet just avoid going over a 1,000-foot cliff. The auto-destruct devices that had been laid throughout the complex had done most of their work with devastating efficiency. Ryan and his companions had been the reluctant witnesses of that. The good luck was that the gateway hadn't been damaged. The bad luck was what he saw at the end of the passage. Sky, a circle of vinyl black, sprinkled with a myriad stars.
Keep back while I take a look. Could be undercut and dangerous.
Ryan moved forward very cautiously. All the lights were out in the corridor, and his feet slid through a thick bed of sand and pebbles. By the time Ryan came close to the brink of the opening, he was already aware of a calm breeze in the night and the sense of a vast space beckoning him on.
I'm coming back.
What is it?
I don't like it. Can't see a hand in front of my face, and I have a feeling there's a big chasm out there. We'll tackle it better in the light. Right now we'll get some sleep.
We could try it, or we waste a lot of time, don't we?
No. We'll need sleep. Need to be alert for the walk across open desert to Jack's place.
How do you know he's still there?
It was a fair question, one that Ryan had been repeatedly pushing away into a locked room at the back of his mind. In Deathlands, nothing was certain. And the Southwest was an unusually hostile environment for survival.
Dad?
Dean's voice came from the pool of light that spilled out from the open doors of the Matrans control area.
I'm here. It could be that something's happened to Jack and his woman. But you have to take risks in life, or you're deader than a spent round. We'll find out in the morning.
For safety, they went back inside the chamber, curling up together on the floor. Ryan had his blaster in his hand all the time.
Dad!
What?
Ryan came awake immediately, instantly aware of where he was.
What?
Look!
A small bird was perched in the doorway, head on one side, looking curiously at the two figures on the floor. It had a bright crimson beak and a splash of gold on its head. As Ryan sat up, it turned and flew away, the whirring of its tiny wings vanishing into the morning. Dean went out for a piss, calling his father from the passage.
There's footmarks here!
Mine?
Yeah, and others. Different patterns of boots in the sand. A lot of them, Dad!
That wasn't good news. Ryan joined the boy, nodding his head in agreement.
Yeah. Looks like a dozen of them. Not too recent. See the way the blown dirt's drifted in on some of the boot marks?
Hey, look out there! You can see for a million miles!
In daylight, the end of the passage was now clear. The side of the mountain that had contained the redoubt had been sliced open as the Plasecs exploited.